WEEI Afternoons, Thursday off day between joint practices and the preseason opener between the Commanders and Patriots, Gillette Stadium, on Friday night. Of course, the big news of the night actually might take place before the game. Tom Brady's statue will be unveiled in a ceremony in the plaza outside the Team Hall of Fame at 6 o'clock. TB12 will be in the plaza, talking about the statue. And I look forward to measuring up to the Tom Brady statue. They say it's 12 feet. That's a big statue. And if that's on top of a podium, like a, not a, I don't know what you call that, a
stanchion?
Stanchion or something. That's going to be way up in the air. That's going to be kind of a...
12 feet is not small. That's
no,
a large
that's
statue.
That's what I mean. And that plaza, that is going to, that's going to be pretty cool. That's going to overlook everything. But joining us on the phone lines here now on WEEI Afternoons is Tom Curran from NBC Sports Boston. Tom is brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining. At drainsbyjames.com, at Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Tom Curran, it's not present Patriot related, but I was just mentioning it, so I wanted to ask you. They're going to unveil the Tom Brady statue tomorrow night, 12 feet tall. Do you think we're eventually going to see a Belichick and then a Kraft? Will they all be together? What are your thoughts on statue expansion in the future down there at Patriot Place?
That's interesting. I hadn't given it any thought. I'm going to need to ruminate on that more extensively. I mean, as I was just leaving there, doing a little work there today for NBC Sports Boston, I mentioned that, you know, last year was the Hall of Fame induction. This year it's a statue. What will it be next year that they can extract from Brady? A shard of his tooth. We're going to have it embedded in somewhere in a goalpost, and everybody come back. So, yeah, I'm sure that they will always find a way to leverage the marketing people will, the glory days.
Ruminate, great word. hey, Tom, let's. I saw you at yesterday's practice, and I just want to get your thoughts on really the story of the season, and that's what Drake May looked like. I mean, I thought he looked pretty good. Some nice little boots, and I thought he had a scramble touchdown, run for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Just what did you think about his performance in yesterday's practice? And then what, just further on, what are you seeing different in his game this year that maybe you didn't see in it last year?
It's a great question. It's the kind of thing that you and I would have exchanged ideas on during the season as we watched the game. And I would mention to you, Ted, this really looks like McDaniels is having an impact on him because there are so many easy throws for him. It's not that different personnel-wise. So, I mean... What have you added? Kyle Williams and who else the wide receiver room? Diggs, he was out there for a fair amount, but it's the same guys. So why are guys more open and running free, and why does Drake look that much more comfortable? Certainly the offensive line is helping, but I really think yesterday was the best demonstration that we got of May in a McDaniels offense as opposed to the final year that he had at North Carolina, the year with Alex Van Pelt where it was going to be stripped back down to zero and have him run a West Coast version. And we're going to show him how to paint by numbers, step back, and throw to the places he's supposed to throw. I think it shows and showed yesterday what a nice fit May's style is for McDaniels' offense. And we're probably seeing, what, Ted, 15% of what the Patriots' offense, yep, maybe more, of what it'll actually be by the time the season starts.
Tom, were you as pleasantly surprised with the overall product and execution yesterday? I feel like those of us that were in attendance, be they fans hanging off the ramps or those of us on a very crowded media hill, were treated to the best-looking football team, albeit, again, in just a joint practice, but the best-looking version of the Patriots we may have seen in a while.
Yeah, probably the last time I saw them look that good was 2021 against the Giants, which didn't turn out to be a good team, but they just hammered the Giants during the joint practice. That was the Joe Judge year and Daniel Jones's year, and that was Mac's first year, but they looked terrific that day. So a lot more situational driving the football stuff that week, and maybe they'll do some of that in Minnesota, but it's been since then that they've looked good, because if we roll through it, 2022 was Patricia and Judge running the offense. 2023 was O'Brien with a horrendous offensive line and receiver core, and last year was an embarrassing offensive line, and a host of new coaches. So it has been a long time since you just saw competency after competency and didn't see plays where you go, well, I don't know exactly what went wrong on that offensive play, but it might have been four different things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Tom, what did you make of the two scuffles, fights, whatever you want to call them? I know Drake May was asked about it and kind of alluded to them being a good thing in the energy. I didn't see anybody ejected. And we've had fights over the years, you know, under Belichick. Sometimes guys were ejected, sometimes they weren't. Just sort of, was that a good thing for where this team is at and what they're trying to prove, or how did you react to those?
I don't mind fights in the least if they are organic and if they happen in the heat of competition and it doesn't turn into somebody saying, well, I got to make a name for myself on this team and start a fight. I've always thought that was hokey. And it even goes back to Belichick paying off. Who the hell was it, Ted, back in the day?
Yeah, I heard rumors that it was,
Sliding 200 yeah. to somebody to start a fight with Lawyer Malloy. And so it was organic yesterday. I don't think that they were out there trying to start fight after fight. And we've been to enough training camp practices. And, of course, Ted has taken part in enough where you do see teams who are like, especially against the Patriots when they were good, well, we're not going to take any crap. And we're going to show them we're going to stand up to them and all that crap. I think yesterday was organic. I thought it was a clean practice. There was one minor scuffle. And then there was the larger scuffle. And I thought that what Vrabel did wasn't the kind of thing that was orchestrated to send a message to his team about having their backs. He weighs 260. He's the biggest. He's bigger than both the guys who were fighting. He said, all right, I'm going to get in there and try to break this up. And that was the cost of doing business. Now, there's very few men on the planet, never mind on NFL sidelines, who could say, oh, I can fix this. But it shows you how involved he is.
All right, Tom, two-part question, one of my favorites. And the first is just, how did you think Will...
two parts.
How do you think Will Campbell did yesterday against different competition? And what would you? How would you feel if the starting left tackle and left guard are both rookies? Because reportedly, Jared Wilson, it looks like he's in the driver's seat to maybe start at left guard next to Will Campbell.
I'd give Campbell a B+. Just the absence of chaos and capable rep after capable rep. To me, there was some stuff later on. Phil Perry observed it a little bit more than I did because I thought that he was kind of shut down. He said, well, they sent two at him a couple times late and did some stunts. And the only time I saw him beat, I thought that it was a corner got wide and around him. But other than that, in his very brief one-on-ones, I think there were only two reps that he took in one-on-ones because there were so many guys. And also in the 11-on-11, it was uneventful. So I'm giving him a B+, and that's just grading hard. And then I wouldn't have a problem with it, but I would acknowledge, and again, this is something you could speak to, Ted, if you saw two rookies lined up next to each other,
feast.
You'd feast, but it would be interesting to you, wouldn't it, if those guys started picking up things left and right.
Yep.
And two guys who are extremely intelligent guys, just to talk to them, you can tell that they're sharp as hell.
Tom,
Jared Wilson, I mean,
yes,
just to throw in the name. Yes.
Yep, of course. So we've talked about him a lot on the show. I know Patriots fans, at least from what I can glean from social media, are pretty hype on his potential as well. And the Pats were, too, because they took him early in the second round. Ted has even gone so far out on this show to say the Patriots' most impactful offensive player this year, or weapon, will be Travion Henderson. Have you been impressed with him to date in camp with that extra speed? And do you think he's going to be – will he be a rookie running back in the McDaniel system, or will he potentially be featured and become a star?
No, I don't think that they have the luxury to play apprentice year with anybody that talented. You know, you could do it with Shane Vereen or James White and give them time, or Stephen Ridley. And Bill was still doing it later on with receivers like DeMario Douglas or Booty, who probably should have been getting time on the field given the level of talent that they had. No, Travion Henderson needs to be on the field, and I think he will be on the field extensively. I think DeMario Douglas will be the hub around whom the offense revolves, just because of the position he plays and his usefulness. But to me, Henderson does a lot of things that you're going to like, and to have three complementary backs back there is really interesting. He made he had a terrific practice earlier this week. He missed a very tough catch yesterday, catchable ball directly over his head from May, who could not have thrown it any better, but it was just degree of difficulty. And I know that you were watching that play. Probably degree of difficulty was like an 8. It was a hard catch to make. He didn't make it, but he was there. It's just he's nasty.
Tom, are you starting to get a feel for maybe some interesting names that could be fighting for roster spots? We've talked about guys like Anfernee Jennings or Kyle Duggar. What's his role? So maybe those two guys or even other guys that you think would sort of fit that category at this point?
I would say that, I mean, Duggar just carries such a massive cap hit to me that if you're not contributing and you're the second highest paid player on the team, and contributing is relative. He might be doing a million things that the coaching staff could say, well, he's doing that, and you can't tell because you don't know what the defense is. Okay, fair. But to me, if you're looking at a surprise cut, it would continue to be Duggar, but he's just a professional, and he's athletic, and he does play special teams. So I keep bringing him up, but in my heart of hearts, I'd hate to see it happen because I think he's a good player, and you'd like to see it work out. And then I really think that Kendrick Bourne is getting into deeper and deeper water in terms of trying to make the team. I mean, I think that Booty is far past him now, and I think Baker might be pulling up neck and neck with him.
Hey, Tom, I'm curious what you thought. When I saw Jason Tatum walk in yesterday to practice, I was like, it just feels different around here. I mean, it was buzzy before Jason got there, but, you know, you got Jon Bon Jovi there, ex-Patriots were there. It just felt the crowd was as big as any that I'd seen in a while. Did it feel different yesterday at practice, just kind of the whole vibe, and maybe there's just a little bit of different emphasis and kind of, you know, just people are looking at this team a little differently than they have in the last few years?
Yeah, I think the excitement is much higher, and I think it's, you know, and it's tough, but had Jerod Mayo come back this year, you would not feel the same sense of optimism by any stretch. They might have had a hard time getting the Stephon Diggs. They might have had a hard time attracting any free agents, never mind Milton Williams or other players like that. So to me, what the fans wanted was change from Bill. Not necessarily to Jerod, but the change from Bill went to Jerod, and then it needed to be changed from Jerod, and then it's changed to Mike Vrabel, who many people thought to be like an antidote. And he has done nothing since he started, Ted, as the head coach, to disabuse anybody of the idea that he could walk it and talk it the way that you hoped. So I think it really was a reward for the people who have thought that it would be a much better team, because the product on the field was so easily consumable. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It was easy to digest. You're like, oh, God, this is gross at all.
All right, Tom, last one. Keep it quick. Mike Vrabel has talked recently about how important he is to the defense overall, and yesterday we got a great sample of Christian Barmore dominating in that one-on-one. You like what you see so far, and do you think we may be getting back to the guy who was so great at the end of 2023?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I think he said to the Barstool podcast was in earlier this week that he looked at Drake May and Christian Barmore as the keys in some ways to the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm paraphrasing, but is that exactly what he said?
Yep.
Yeah, so that shows you the importance, because the ripple effect that Barmore can have on everybody is significant, and that includes Milton Williams. You know, Milton Williams is a good player, but I would imagine that Christian Barmore is probably stronger and has the potential to be even more explosive and dynamic than Milton Williams. So, but the two of them together should be excellent. What I want to see is more of a pass rush impact, and I didn't see it yesterday. That's the only downside I'm looking at and perceiving is I want to see a difficult-to-deal-with pass rush that has to emerge.
Tom, as we let you go, what are you expecting tomorrow night in terms of Drake May and starter reps? Any inclination there?
I haven't really pinned it down yet. I'm saving that bullet for tomorrow to find out. But I would imagine that given the fact that this is a fan base who is yearning for some things to be rewarded for after some down years, it would be a miss by the Patriots organization and Vrabel in particular if you didn't give him two series of Drake May so the kids could say, I saw Drake May. Just, it ain't hard. It's not hard. Handoffs, couple of slants, get him out of there.
All right, Tom, enjoy the game, enjoy the statue, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks, bye.
Man. See you, buddy.
Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, here with us on WEEI Afternoons. We will react to a couple things he said, including some optimism on the offensive line. He took the young offensive line on the left side a little bit different direction than Ted Johnson did. We'll talk about it next here on WEEI Afternoons.